So you're a business that's thriving. But then, oh, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
B-Pod Studios.
So you're a business that's thriving, but then, oh, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's just one of these designs where you've got guys in a bunch and you really challenge the coverage. It's really Jeremy Sprinkle. Watch 87 right here. He's the guy that helps Logan Thomas get freed up. Vince Williams has him in coverage, but he can't get through. And there's the end of it. That Alex Smith standing in the pocket, taking that shot, knowing he's going to get hit by TJ Watt.
Watch that last night, Mass?
Yep.
Big Jim Murray back in our Town for Atari Studios. Did you see that last night?
I did, yeah. Hold on. I don't have my headphones on yet.
That's all right. I think that was Alex Smith.
Yeah, Alex Smith, yeah.
It's a touchdown. I'm just looking at the box score here.
I can't hear anything.
Alex Smith, 31 of 46. That's what, Mass? You're a math guy. You're smart. Went to Tufts.
That's 31. Basically 67%.
It's like 67, 68%,
can't hear
right? The yards, 296. Touchdown, no interceptions. Greg Bedard, are you there? Can you hear? Oh, he can't hear anything.
I thought he was being...
That's too bad. Me too.
I thought he was being a wise ass. I thought he was being a wise ass. I couldn't hear the Alex Smith story. That's funny. Big boy, figure out your headphones. Figure it out.
Billy will pot him up when we have a second. It's Felger and Maz on Tuesday, December 8th. We got Maz and Murray, as you can hear from our Town Fair Tire Studios. I am on remote. Big boy, Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal is also on remote. Greg, are you there? Can you hear me? That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
Big boy's still working on it. Selective hearing.
Because we got
my mother used to have that.
We got a lot of football to talk about with him. I did want to start off with his thoughts on the Patriots' big picture quarterback situation, because we started it last week and Alex Smith was a focus of what we talked about. It kind of set Greg off, and then he wrote a really good column about it in the Boston Sports Journal about, well, he would have a problem with Alex Smith or someone like him if he took over as the Patriots quarterback. So I just thought last night would be a jumping off point to get into that, because we've read Greg. We haven't talked to him about it. Is he there yet?
Not that I'm aware of.
Jesus. So let me just circle back to it. We'll start it on our own, Maz. If Alex Smith were their quarterback next year, would you be okay with that?
Hell yes. Yeah, I said this from the beginning. I've always liked Alex Smith, and I should let me amend that. I've liked Alex Smith beginning with Jim Harbaugh's tenure as quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, because I thought that Harbaugh started to bring him along. They got a little bit more out of him. He went to Kansas City. He played fine there. If you give
can't
Alex...
Anything. I know...
Oh, there he is. Speaker. Now we can hear you.
I hit test speaker and it's working for me. The sound is not turned up.
Yeah. Test speaker.
Hey, Greg. Greg! Bedard!
Don't we have
big boy?
Aren't engineers here? What's happening?
It's unbelievable. Okay, Mess, go ahead.
Okay, so look, I think that if you had Alex Smith as your quarterback right now, plain and simple, I think you'd be better, maybe two games better. I think you'd be 7-5, maybe 8-4. So, and I'm not telling you I think the Patriots are great, but I think Alex Smith does what I can guarantee you about Alex Smith. He'll make fewer mistakes than Cam Newton has made. I guarantee you that. That comes with a 100% guarantee.
So to me, he just has always stood for Joe Average and is just the kind of, you know, run the system, play the position guy that Bill Belichick would win with. Not at a level that you would with Tom Brady. Of course not. No one's going to do that. Maybe never again. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that he's just represented that guy. Now, I think I've made a mistake in the past of putting too many guys in his category. Like, I've felt that Brian Hoyer could be that. You know, apparently he can't. But that guy, a guy to run the offense, a guy to limit the mistakes, and then on occasion, Maz, if he needs to, like you heard on that play there, second half touchdown to tie the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. He converted a bunch of third downs in the second half of that game last night, pushing the ball down the field. There was a one-handed grab down the sidelines by Sims. That was a tremendous catch, but it was also a tremendous throw. Got to have it play on third and four. So Smith can run the offense, limit mistakes, and then if you need it, he can. He can make the occasional play down the field, and he can put up 300 yards passing. He can do that thing. And he's just always sort of represented to me the ultimate that guy. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And if my plan next year for the Patriots quarterback spot is to get a caretaker and draft a guy, because I always like the guy that sits on the bench for a year or two before he takes over, and I want a caretaker in the meantime, someone that you can compete with and really compete with. And I think Alex Smith is that guy. Bedard hated the suggestion last week, hated it.
He was offended by it. And I'm no Alex Smith guy, but if he's your stopgap guy and you are drafting someone, I can live with it. And I'm the first to call Alex Smith Captain Checkdown, which, and you watch that last night, at times he still is. But like you said, Mike, when you need it and he has to push the ball down the field, he can do it. And he's safe with the ball. That's the most important thing.
Captain Checkdown, I'll take. I think Cam Newton sucks on the checkdown. I think Cam Newton on the checkdown is either drilling it at the guy's shoelaces, putting it over his head, or getting his German fullback killed because he takes way too long to come to the backside, and he almost decapitates, you know, whatever there, Jakob. So I'll take Captain Checkdown. That's what I want. Alex Smith, his interceptions in the league, starting, I'll give you his whole career if you want. I mean, 11-16, 4-12-10, 5-5-7-6, 7-8-5-5-5. He's a single-digit interception guy. I mean, and those are mostly him starting every game. That's mostly him starting every game. So he's got, his interception numbers are kind of Brady, Aaron Rodgers-like. I mean, that's how rarely he throws interceptions. I don't have the fumbles in front of me, but he doesn't turn the ball over, Maz.
No, he doesn't. Look at, and again, to me, you can sum up Alex Smith in one stat. One loss record, 97-67-1. 97-67-1. I mean, so he's 30 games over 500 in his career. That's pretty good. I mean, you got a guy that's won, is way better than Cam Newton's one loss record. And that is a 97-67-1 with who as his head coaches? Okay, so that is with Jim Harbaugh, Andy Reid, and now Ron Rivera. And so now he hasn't had complete dog food for coaches. He's had some pretty decent coaches there, but it's not like he's had Bill Belichick. So if he can go 97-67-1. With those guys as his coach, or coaches, what can he do with Bill Belichick? And I think you're looking at 11-5. So I think it's a perfect fit. I think that Smith gets it. I think that he doesn't make mistakes, and he would do exactly what Bill wants him to do. Exactly.
So I meant to have that conversation with Bedard, but we're having technical problems and we can't raise him. So he's not there to weigh in. But just reading his column from last week, his point was, Maz, that if they go to someone like Alex Smith next year, it's admitting that this year was a waste and that Bill had no plan at quarterback. To which I would say to Greg, if he were up, I would say, yeah, exactly. You're still holding on to this notion that Bill had some grand plan or that this has been a smooth transition? No, that's done, right? That's done. If Stidham was the guy, then he had it nailed. Or if Cam Newton was a suitable caretaker, Maz. If Cam Newton was Alex Smith in this conversation, meaning if Cam Newton was good enough to be the starter here for the next, you know, this year, next, maybe a third, you know, somewhere in there, 2 to 3 years, where he gives you play that's commensurate with a 10-win team, and he's he's a representative passer and a good caretaker. If Cam Newton was that guy, I'd say that Bill landed on his feet, lucked into it because it was the last guy standing at the dance. You know, he didn't really target him, just waited for him. But still, be that as it may, this season's not a waste. because Cam Newton's your guy. You can draft, if maybe Stidham takes longer to develop, you can draft a guy this year, maybe even next, and you're covered. So if Cam Newton were a good caretaker, I'd say Bill had a plan. This is not a waste. But Cam Newton's not a good caretaker. He's no one here that I want for the next couple of years. And so you have to start all over again next year. And I think you have to start all over twice. I think you need to get the veteran and the young guy, because your veteran and your young guy aren't good enough. So if Bedard were here, I'd tell him that ship has already sailed, big boy.
Yeah, so look, the way I look at it, and I know you presented Greg's point, is that, you know, they would have wasted this year. I would tell you, if Cam Newton's still here, they're wasting another one. They still don't have a plan. They still don't have a plan. In Sorry. Fact, I would tell you that I think the worst-case scenario for the Patriots, a quarterback, is to come back next year with exactly the same guys. Because I think that I don't think the answer is here. Now, again, you want to tell me that Stidham looked better on Sunday and the two passes that he threw or whatever? Fine. Yes. But overall, has there been enough there to make anyone think that he's the guy? My answer is no. And when we did that Twitter poll last week, we had 58% of the people that still wanted Cam Newton over Stidham. And we damn as well sure know that Cam Newton's not the answer. So if they come back with the same cast next year, disaster. Disaster, okay, well, if you ask me.
We'll get Bedard here in a second. He also believes there was something behind Jared Stidham playing in that game, and not just, you know, get a young kid some mop-up duty to get him some reps. Bedard wonders if there's something even beyond that. So that's something I want to hit on him with, Maz. You know, do you still feel that way? I know we touched on this yesterday.
Yes, I do. I mean, I think that it started at the beginning of last week. After, now I'm going to get my games mixed up, but the game before the Chargers game, the Cardinals game, it started there. I think Newton was so bad, and then Bill did his post game, that it became clear that he didn't believe in Newton's ability to throw the ball. And so now Stidham get into this game. It was a blowout, but they were still throwing late. And I think that they, with the practice time that they were able to give Stidham last week, I believe they started some sort of transition. Now, what does that mean? Big picture? I don't know yet. I'll let you know when we get there. Could Stidham start this week? I highly doubt it, because they won the game and looked good on Sunday. I thought there was a chance maybe that he would start this game against the Rams. I don't think that's going to happen now. But do I believe that they are trying to integrate Stidham in some capacity to begin a transition there? Yes, I do.
Okay, so Greg believes something along those lines. We'll find out exactly what that is when we get him up. He also has some thoughts on Josh McDaniels, his future, and could be the team, and it could be that the team that we just saw is his ultimate landing spot with the LA Chargers. Certainly should be a plum job for someone, that's for sure. That's something on the board that I want to talk about. I want to talk about his thoughts on N'Keal Harry and where he lined up from time to time in this game the last week, and what his future positional situation is. A lot of people think he can't play receiver, so try him at tight end. I want Greg's thoughts on that. I want Greg's thoughts on the games last night. The Patriots' path to the division narrowed, okay? But does Greg think the team's still in it, and how do they get in it? What do we think about Buffalo and Josh Allen? I know Greg is not the biggest fan of that team or that player. Wonder if he watched last night and what his takeaway was. And again, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I tried to tell you, Maz, not all that. I want to get to that as well. We'll do it all with your calls. 617-779-0985 to you and hopefully the big boy right after this.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Cam Newton's below average this year. Let's go to average next year with Alex Smith. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
No.
Next year.
Blitz is coming. Smith under pressure going in. So he's got it. Touchdown, Logan Thomas. And Washington an extra point away from tying it.
That to Dodd. Here comes a Blenami. You better batten down the hatches or get a raincoat, brother. Yeah, get the big boy a top.
And next year, your solution for the Patriots, a quarterback, is Alex freaking Smith.
Smith going deep down the field, and it is caught.
Alex Smith is a pretty big upgrade over Cam Newton. I'm sorry, he is.
Don't apologize, Felger. You tell him. Blah, Badad. Blah.
If your grand plan for the Patriots to be relevant and to be in the news is Alex Smith, like, I don't know what we're doing here.
Smith under duress. Gets rid on time to Thomas. Oh, what a move.
Smith going to air it out. Has a man. Thomas holds it in.
This discussion is as stupid as the opinion you just stated. I'm done with it.
You're not done with it till we say you're done with it, Badad.
Yeah, that's right, big boy.
We're not going to do that. I'm above that. Big boy, are you there?
I'm Badard? Here. Can you hear me?
Oh, there he is. Hi, Greg.
Hello.
How you doing? Hello. Are you there?
I am here.
Oh, my God. That delay is epic. Did you watch the ball game last night?
A little bit here and there.
Okay. Well, so then don't bother. If you didn't watch the game, give me your thought on the Patriots quarterback situation and why you don't want someone like Alex Smith next year.
Okay, well, first of all, like you explained last week, because I wrote a column last week before even this game, what I said about Alex Smith was never about Alex Smith, the player. It wasn't about him. It was about the issues with the Patriots at quarterback. And basically, like, I'm not going through what the Patriots are going through right now, where the quarterback can't even complete remedial passes in the second half on Sunday, and he was not good on Sunday. I'm not going through this again with another quarterback, especially an aging guy. I'm not doing the aging caretaker quarterback again, because if that's the case, then Belichick had no plan. There was no point to this season. I know you think that there is no plan, and I think you're right in some respect that, you know, in terms of getting Newton, there wasn't an overall plan. But I'm hoping, for everything that is holy when it comes to football around here, that at least Bill Belichick said, look, COVID, what have you, our salary cap space issues, for 2020, we're just going to try to get by at the position. Okay, I'm fine with that, largely. I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is Belichick doing that in 2020 and then doing it again in 2021. That is not happening. Well, please tell me that Bill Belichick said, we can throw away 2020, but in 2021, we have a plan. Matthew Stafford, Sam Darnold, Jimmy Garoppolo, trading up in the first round for another quarterback. Something else. Just tell me there's some sort of plan, and I'm still holding out hope that there is, because I'm not doing this again, and I'm certainly not starting over with another caretaker quarterback where we go for the first eight games where it's like, well, he's getting acclimated to the scheme. He's getting acclimated to the receivers. They're not going to be better until the second half of the season. Nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it again.
But, Craig, wouldn't that happen with Stafford, too? Like you say, I would take Matthew Stafford on the one hand, you say, but you tell me it's not going to take time for him to integrate to the offense?
It is, but at least there's a future. You know you're going someplace. With Alex Smith or any other, you know, who are we going to talk about this week? Mike Glennon? Like, whoever it is, Mike Glennon, the caretaker quarterback.
Okay, but you're not giving Alex Smith enough credit. Alex Smith is much closer to Matt Stafford than
I don't want to talk about Alex Smith. Felger, you want to talk about the quarterback position? Let's talk about the quarterback position, all right? And what I'm talking about is Matthew Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo, Sam Darnold. That's a long-term plan. That's 4 or 5 years at the quarterback position. Alex Smith is not. He's 36. He's going to be 37 next year. He, on Sunday, out of quarterbacks this week who had the lowest completion air yards, it was Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, Cam Newton, Brandon Allen, and then Alex Smith. I'm not doing the one-year caretaker thing. If I'm bringing back somebody to hold the place for a first-round quarterback or what have you, I'm doing it with Newton because at least he has some familiarity. I think, you know, guys like you or McCarthy last week, you have no idea what it takes to bring in a new quarterback and get them up to speed. At least Newton knows what's going on. You're starting at ground zero. With Stafford, at least I know there's a five-year plan and we're going someplace.
Go ahead, Mike.
I mean, yeah, no, I think this does come down to Alex Smith a little bit because I think Alex Smith is close to Matt Stafford. I think he can do some of those things and be more careful.
What are we doing here?
Why
Alex Smith is close to Matthew Stafford. Are you kidding me? This is a joke.
I think he's closer to Matthew Stafford than you're giving him credit for, yes. Alex Smith must have done something to you in the past now. I mean, so
I don't believe Alex Smith.
Because there's like a visceral emotional reaction.
Name another guy that's had the same reaction.
He just represents Joe Average to me. I'll come up with another name if you want. But, I mean, see, I treat Alex Smith and Jimmy Garoppolo as the same. I'm not sure I have Jimmy Garoppolo as my long-term guy. Garoppolo's almost 30. I mean, he's going to be my next 10-year guy? How old is Jimmy Garoppolo? He's not so young anymore.
Who mentioned 10 years? I said 3 to 5.
Okay, my idea is you're drafting the next guy, and I want someone to caretake for the next 2 years. Like, that's sort of my idea, and Garoppolo can be that guy, Stafford can be that guy, Alex Smith can be that guy. Like, I think they all sort of qualify.
So it's now really it's 3 years.
It's about a 2-year plan there, Greg.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Okay, so Greg, here's my question for you. You just rattled off a few guys that you said Alex Smith was behind in average air yards this past weekend, right? Who was on that list again? Justin Herbert was one. Who was the guy before him?
Goff was the lowest.
Okay, would you take Goff or Herbert right now?
Oh, Herbert for sure. Goff, no.
Okay, so then what does the air yard stat have to do with anything? If Herbert's on the list, then you would take him. Like, so Alex Smith throws the ball short. So what? What's wrong with that? Why can't you throw the ball short?
Justin
and complete
Herbert
it?
Lost 45-0.
Okay, but again, but
Cam Newton was terrible on Sunday. Brandon Allen stinks. Philip Rivers is the other guy on the list. These are all guys. Philip Rivers is at least over 4. These are all guys under 4 yards.
Okay, but Greg, the point is it has nothing to do with the air yards. It has to do with the fact that it was a bad game. You would take Herbert, right? Herbert's not typically he's not as bad as he was on Sunday. Aside from the fact that you're underselling Alex Smith, I'm a little curious as to what. No one's asking for the guy to be there for 5 years. I know Matthew Stafford's not going to last 5 years.
He's not?
I'm not convinced of that, and I don't want him to. I'd rather them have a guy in addition
to
5 years. What's that?
Alex Smith is not a 3 to 5 year quarterback for this team. And plus, basically, I'm not starting over again. Like, at least Garoppolo knows the scheme. You're hitting the ground running. Like, this is a team that should compete next year. If Belichick makes a few moves with all this cap space, this is a team that should compete next year. You bring in anybody outside of the system, there's going to be a ramp-up process. But at least I know with Stafford or Darnold, there's a payoff. Like, at least it's going to be multi-years. Alex Smith at 37 is not.
So Smith is going to be at 37 next year. He's 36 right now. Matthew Stafford's going to be 33. So, I mean, I guess you're gaining some years there, but...
Yes,
I mean,
that would be four.
I don't know why you're so agitated by the thing, but it's okay. It's okay. I just think Alex Smith would be a fine caretaker. And, oh, by the way, I think he's a smart guy who's been around the league for a long time and wouldn't take as long as Cam Newton's taken. I mean...
That's great, Felger. That's great. And I actually had him on my list... And I think we talked about him at some point in the offseason where he was on my list of guys I would look to acquire for a 1 to 2 year window where I'm trying to figure things out. It's too late. They had that chance. I would have taken Alex Smith this year. I said that previously, but I'm not doing it again next year. That's the point. I'm not starting over again at the quarterback position. I'm not. At least Newton's been here.
You have no choice. You have to start over again. You have no choice.
You have to start over maybe twice, which leads us to Stidham quickly. You thought there was a purpose behind Stidham playing last week, Greg. What do you think it was?
I think that they put him out there, and that was no caretaker mode. Normally, the unwritten rules of the NFL are you're up by that much. If you send out a quarterback out there, it's handoff on third down, then you can throw. That's basically the unwritten rules of the NFL. The Patriots went out there, and not only did they just throw on first down, they didn't just put them in shotgun and throw. They ran play action, which is even worse. To me, that tells me that they wanted to see what the kid could do because they know where Cam Newton is right now for whatever reason, And I'm starting to buy into the injury thing a little bit more after the second half on Sunday. For whatever reason, the other reason might be they've just seen enough of Cam as a passer and they realize they need to know if they need to move in another direction at a certain point. But I think they wanted to test the kid. They wanted to see what he could do. Because if this team gets into a do-or-die game down the stretch, and pretty much they're all do-or-die games here, and they get down by two scores in the second half with about a quarter to go, they need to pull Newton and they need to go with Stidham because Newton is not going to throw them out of the game, back into the game. He's not.
Yet you'll take that guy back next year. I don't get it.
For crying out loud.
Okay, so anyway, here's look. Here's what we're going to do. Well, we're not moving on. What do you mean? This is what we're talking about. We're talking about the whole thing. But we're talking about what the callers want, Greg. Okay, we're not going to push our agenda on them. We're going to let the callers do what they want to do.
Yep.
So this is what we're going to do. First of all,
there's a stroke of brilliance. I'm sure,
Greg.
That enlightenment.
You and I, big fella, are both going to hang up and dial back in because the delay is going to make me want to kill myself. Okay, so we're both going to hang up and dial back in. Murray's going to give us an update. We're going to come back. We're going to do the three up, three down quickly because, frankly, at this point, no one gives two rat poops about that game in L.A., but we'll do it quickly, and then we'll go to the phones and hear what the people have to say. All right? So keep it in your pants. Hang up. Dial back. Here's an update, and we're right back with all the rest of you folks.
Ever wonder where Felger and Maz get all their inside information?
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party.
Always relying on their credible sources. Felger and Maz, the show to come to when sports news breaks.
Oh!
No. It's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Maz.
All right, I want to do this quickly because I want to hear from the people. Greg, are you there?
I am here.
Okay. A little better on the delay. Three up, three down is brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital. Mass General reminds you not to delay important preventive screenings or follow-up care during COVID-19. For more information on in-person and virtual appointments, visit massgeneral.org. Greg, Maz, give me your three up, your three stars all together. Please, one, two, three, and a comment if you like. Go, Greg.
Mr. Replay Board, Chase Winovich, was my first star. He was great in this game. They really targeted the inside of the Chargers offensive line, which, by the way, was probably the worst I've ever seen on an NFL football field. Special teams was number two overall. I can't separate them. I agree with you. Do special teams on your own time. And my number three star, it was tough, but I went with Stephon Gilmore. I thought he really came to play. I don't know if he thinks the Chargers might come trade for him or whatnot, but he came to play, and he shut Keenan Allen down, and Justin Herbert was lost without him.
I'm happy to see the big boy has calmed down a little bit, because in the first segment, I thought the big boy was a big pain in the ass. If you want. Sorry, Greg, I couldn't help it.
Go.
Anyway, my three up, Gunner, Butler, and Gilmore, in that order. Those three, I thought they were all good, all three of them.
Okay, three down, Greg.
Mike Owenu. Shaq Mason and Cam Newton. I thought the right side of the line had a tough time in this game, and actually the Patriots gave up a lot of pressure for them in this game, 37%. The run blocking was pretty good, obviously. That's sort of where they went with things, and both Owenu and Mason. I'm worried that Mason's hurt because I thought he was past this. This was more like a game from him from last year. So I'm a little bit worried about that, especially going into Thursday night and Aaron Donald and all that. So we'll see. We'll know whether Mason's hurt or not from this game. And Newton just, he was fine in the first half. I had him for six plus plays, three minus plays. He was not good in the second half. I had him for zero positive plays, five minus plays.
So the problem with a 45-0 victory is it's very difficult to find three down. But I pressed on and managed. Newton, Myers, John Simon. Can I ask you, does John Simon ever do anything, Greg, in all seriousness? Does he ever do anything?
In all seriousness, most weeks you could say that, and I wouldn't object. I actually would object in this game. I thought he had a good game. Again, the Chargers' offensive line was probably the equivalent of Foxborough High in this game. So basically everybody up front had a good game, and that included Simon. I thought he did a pretty good job in this game.
All right, let's explore more of these topics, especially the Cam Newton stuff, with your calls. Kyle and Clinton, go ahead. Lead us off today. Kyle, what do you got?
Hey, Mike. I agree with you that we definitely have to replace Cam Newton. But I think the mistake that you make when you make your argument is saying that we have to get an average starting quarterback. Because at this point, I mean, I'll take a decent backup quarterback. I mean, I watched a couple of these games the last couple of weeks, like the 49ers game last night with Mullins, or even the Ravens-Steelers game last week where Griffin went down and they brought in their third-string quarterback. And I watched these guys, and I'll take those guys over Cam Newton. So it would be nice to get, you know, Sam Darnold or Matt Stafford next year. But at this point, I'll take a good, young backup quarterback, and if that's all we get, that's fine.
I'm just going to stop you. The third stringer in Baltimore, I can't speak to. Nick Mullins or Cam Newton, Mass?
Ooh, Mullins.
It's close.
It is close, because I think Mullins sucks.
I think he's average, but below average.
Yeah, but I think you've at least got a chance that you could teach him the right things. With Newton, I just feel like it's over. I'm sorry. I just don't think that Cam Newton's a fit here. And more importantly, I don't think he has much left. That's really the big thing.
Greg, when you say you think that you're seeing the injury thing, where are you seeing it? What are you seeing?
It's tough because, like, I don't think his velocity for the most part is off. Like, a lot of his throws have plenty of heat on them. Most of my issue comes with how he throws the ball. Like, there was, the throw to Bird, I think it was, in the end zone.
Yeah.
Like, that should have been a touch pass into the corner of the end zone, and he threw a freaking rocket 8 feet over his head. There was another throw. But then there are other throws, like, say he did complete a 15-yard pass to, I think, Myers on a crosser, but the pass was underthrown. If it's higher, if it's a touch pass to the sideline, that pass could go for 40 yards. Instead, if it's a dying duck low, and then there was the pass that was almost intercepted where I think it was Bird on the stutter and go down the right sideline. A, he passed up Jacoby Myers, was wide open in the middle of the field for a first down. But, you know, maybe McDaniel said, you know what? We're up big. Throw the stutter and go. I want to see what you can do. I think the second half, I think they were testing Cam a little bit in terms of his throwing. And that is a pass that he threw. I went back and I looked at it. He threw it 45 yards in the air. It needed to be 55. If it's 55, that's a touchdown, and Newton couldn't make the throw. So I don't know. I go back and forth. Sometimes his velocity's fine, but other times I think it's something with his shoulder. I think the shoulder has come up again. I think it's inconsistent, and that's what's causing him some issues.
This and other Patriots issues with your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
Felger and Mass. Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So it was a big advantage last night to be able to play the game and then, you know, come back to the hotel and, you know, watch the film. Players are resting, you know, no travel involved and all that. So it's almost like having a home game. So those are good things. And, it's a short week here. It's a real scramble for the Rams. But, to not have to, have any extra travel and all that, so it was a big advantage for us in terms of trying to get ready for the week. And so that's part of why we stayed out here. You got to make the trip one way or another, but Saturday's a day to relax and not travel before the game, and the day after the game, or the night of the game and the day after the game are again much, much better opportunities to recover and get ready and eliminate the travel. So glad we're doing it, and hopefully it'll help us this week.
So it was Belichick the other day. I was surprised to hear him say that. Saying it's a big scramble for the Rams. Sort of talking about a disadvantage for his opponent, which is just not something that he would normally do. And I'm going to chalk it up to a slip. Like, I don't think it was intentional, Maz. I know you think everything he does is intentional. Sometimes things just slip. And, you know, the way it came out, what I think he was doing there is saying it was a big advantage for us in terms of doing this rather than going back and forth. So I think he was saying a big advantage versus the alternative for us. He wasn't saying we have a big advantage over the Rams. He didn't mean to say that, but it's sort of how it came out. You know, we've got a big advantage over the Rams. We just came back to the hotel. We got to look at film. No travel. It's like a home game. The Rams have a big scramble, so it's a big advantage here. And so you can read that a certain way, saying, boy, you know, that's really not something Bill is known to do. Talk about a disadvantage for the opponent coming up in a game. That's how it came across. I don't think he meant it that way, but it's kind of how it came across, which is just a way to get into this game, Greg. You think the Pats have a shot in this game? You think the Pats still have a shot this season? You think the path is alive, don't you?
I do, but I'm still in the camp that my preseason prediction of 4-6 and then winning six straight, I think it has to be that. And to me, I know you're talking, well, I'm sure it's over after the Bills won last night, but any talk that you had about the division, I thought, you know, I didn't think it was really realistic. Looking at it, to me, it's always been basically the seventh seed and, you know, hopefully the eighth seed if that comes to it, but because I want to see Jim's asterisk billboard on 93. But to me, it's the seventh seed. And really what you need is if the Patriots finish tied, the way I read the tie-breaking rules, the Patriots finish tied with the Dolphins, the Ravens, and the Raiders, the Patriots go.
That's true.
So to me, the Browns are in, the Colts or the Titans are probably in.
That's
so to
right.
me, it's the seventh seed.
That's right. You got it.
So if they finish tied, basically the way it breaks down is, first, you eliminate a division tiebreaker. So the Patriots will, you know, look, they need to sweep the Dolphins.
Hey, Greg.
So they do that, the Dolphins are out.
It's already been done. Trust me. Like the algorithms, the playoff simulations, they've already done it. Trust me. I've done it too. If the Pats finish 9-7 tied with Baltimore and Indy and Miami, they go. If the Pats finish tied at 9-7 with Vegas, Baltimore, Miami, they go. They have those tiebreakers. So those scenarios play out. So,
one thing, Mike, I wanted to bring up about Bill's comment about the Rams is actually when the schedule came out, I reported that the Rams were pissed when the schedule came out.
Go ahead,
for
Greg,
this reason.
Because this is what I believe, too, but go ahead.
Yeah, so the schedule came out, and I think it was that night or the next day I talked to somebody who had talked to somebody in the pretty high up in the Rams, and the Rams were pissed that the Patriots basically got to – what Bill was talking about. They got to play in that stadium. They got to go to their hotel. The Rams had to play in Arizona. They had to fly in. They had to do all that stuff. Granted, it's not a big trip, but still, it's a little bit of a pain in the butt. But the Rams were ticked off that the one time they get the Patriots at home, basically their whole advantage of a Thursday night game, you know, normally it's teams got to fly in, short week. The Patriots have already been in LA for, you know, almost a week at that point. So, yeah, they were pissed.
Yeah, I think Bill's playing mind games. I think he knows they're pissed off about it. And so it's, you know, oh, yeah, you know, it's tough on the Rams, though. You know, so just to bring it up again, because, you know, honestly, I think he'll take any advantage he can get this week. He knows they're better than the Patriots. So the Patriots are 6-point underdogs. So if you can get the Rams frothing at the mouth because they feel like they get screwed over and they're not thinking straight, well, then good. By all means, I do. I think there's an element of that.
I'll tell you what. As usual, I like your take much better than mine. It's much better to think that Bill's guy, he's conniving something, that there's some purpose there. So maybe that's it. I like it. So that's part of it. Real quick, Greg, one more thing. N'Keal Harry, you think there's any shot that he's transitioning to tight end? Did he line up inside on some plays in this last game at the Chargers?
He lined up in the slot. I mean, it's, you know, yes, it's a position that the tight end does play sometimes in this offense. It's basically he ran the same route that Cole Beasley ran last night. And so it's a slot receiver route. I don't think he's transitioning to tight end. I think any of that would be done in the offseason, but I think they need to do it. I mean, look, he's playing in the slot, so he's basically the number three receiver at this point. He wasn't playing tight end. He was playing slot. The tight end would have to wait till the offseason.
But the point being is that if they move him inside, Greg, he gets a more favorable matchup and it simplifies everything.
Yeah, and you know, I love how, you know, you bring it up and they're like, oh, what about his blocking? First of all, have you seen Ryan Izzo block? and he's your starting tight end. Second of all, any of these tight ends coming from college, none of them block. And N'Keal Harry is physical. He does like to block. He's willing to do that. Yeah, he has to add a little weight, but it's not like he's going to be Gronk 2.0. He's going to be more like Hernandez. Hernandez was a better athlete, but he's going to be more of that move type tight end. I think that's better for him, better matchups, and might get him on the field more.
Okay, so you think that's a possibility there?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, there we go. Okay, big boy seal of approval. I promise, your phones for the next 20 or so minutes until we get to the 10 questions with Bedard. Lawrence and Everett, what do you got for Greg?
Hey, is there any way, I know Bedard thinks McDaniels to the Chargers is a real possibility. Is there any way McDaniels goes out there, Brady and Arians hate each other, Brady tries to force his way to L.A.?
Ooh, there's adding a layer, but Greg, just start with the McDaniels and the Chargers thing.
Yeah, I think it's a really good marriage for both sides. I think that, look, the Chargers are in a division with the Chiefs, and the Raiders are up and coming. Gruden and Mayock are doing a really good job. That team's going to be a playoff contender year in, year out very soon. They cannot afford to go with some wet behind the ears coordinator or college head coach. Like, they need somebody that can hit the ground running. They have pieces in place to really take a leap. They obviously need to fix the offensive line, but McDaniels has been through it. He's made the mistakes. He knows not what to do. And also, look, he'd be really good for Herbert before he gets broken by somebody else. Like, I think it would be a perfect marriage and good for both sides.
Alex in Virginia, what do you got?
Hey, so I want to bring it back to the beginning of the offseason when we were thinking Belichick was going to go with Stidham to lead the offense or Brian Hoyer. I think they should have just had Hoyer for the first four games, no matter what their record was, put in Stidham. So now I'm thinking they have Cam kind of replace Tom Brady, get that weight off of Stidham's shoulders, so that way they can next season...
Alex, I'm going to stop you. You're overthinking it. Like, he's treating it like, you know, Bill engineered this thing. Uh-huh. It's like, no. You don't get it, Alex. Bill was flying by the seat of his pants. Okay? He didn't have a real plan, or maybe his plan, we really liked Stidham, and then he got disabused of it at some point, and then they went with the cheapest guy that was left at the dance, the last guy without a dance partner. They put him in there, and he's kind of sucked, and now they are where they are. And that's it. Bill wasn't trying to engineer anything. You know, I just think you're approaching it from the wrong angle, Maz. I know you agree with that.
Oh, my gosh. You know where I'm going with this. Once again, Bill screws up and gets credit for it. Because Bill can never make a mistake. Yeah, Felger, the way you got to think about it is the Pats were on the rebound. And you never marry the chick on the rebound. You never do that. So he made Cam the rebound chick because he really wants to marry Stidham.
And he wanted Newton to suck. And he wanted Newton to suck so Stidham could come in and save the day and take over for Cam Newton. So that was all engineered. All those crappy games and lousy performances and blown games at the end in the fourth quarter were engineered by Belichick to have Stidham take over for Newton. This is what callers do, Greg.
Yeah, 6-6 and losses to the Broncos and the Texans were all part of the plan. But look, Felger, I agree with you that there was no plan for 2020. I'm holding out hope, and I have a belief in Belichick, that he at least said, you know what, 2020, we're punting on that. We'll do what we have to do. But really, he saw into his crystal ball 2021. There could be three or four good young quarterbacks available by a trade or release, five first-round quarterbacks in the draft, that Belichick saw that, and that's the plan. That's what I'm believing, not in Alex Smith.
I don't know. So, but he's still saying we'll take one of eight guys then. You know, it's not like he targeted a guy.
With upside.
I mean, you know, well, but I don't know. That's saying he likes all eight. I mean, I don't believe that. I mean, he might like a guy or two. He might love Garoppolo and think to himself, yeah, he'll shake free in San Francisco. And he might be right, but what if Garoppolo went on to have a great year and they went back to the Super Bowl? Garoppolo wouldn't be available. It's like then your plan blows up in your face. So I sort of feel like the thing you're talking about is him just doing this year all over again. Yeah, there could be six to eight guys out there that I like, and I'll take what's there.
Yeah, but at least he's saying, all right, then there should be a pool of about eight or nine starting caliber quarterbacks next year. And I have $80 million in cap space, plus I think all my draft picks. Next year, then I can make a move to get the quarterback of the present and the future for this team.
Well, let's see. Let's see. Something tells me he's just waiting to see what shakes out again, figuring he can make whatever work. And he tried that this year, and it kind of blew up in his face. So I'm sorry. I'm not giving him a passing grade on the quarterback thing. I'm just not. I think they sort of blew the transition. Here's a quick update from Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials. Right back to you.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.